Accession number 19774, Reel 1.
Colonel Pierre Sikorsky, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I am born in Poland, small town called Rochocznica, in 9th of April, 1922.
Rochocznica is near to which town?
It's a part of Russia, I'm afraid, Belarus, yeah? And do you want to spell it out?
Just
Bialystok.
Bialystok.
That's right, yes.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in this area?
That's right, actually, in eastern part of Poland. We moved to another small place, my father, but actually we still were in the same area.
Can you give me some details about your family background, please?
Well, my father actually was a gardener in a rather large estate which belongs to the Duke. And my mother, she was just housewife.
Did they come from this Bialystok area?
Well, my father, yes, he actually born in this that area, but my mother, she was born near Warsaw, and her family was near Warsaw.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had a brother, but unfortunately he has died.
Were you the eldest in the family?
Yes, I was, actually.
What was the name of your school?
That was the grammar school of the belongs to the fathers, and then was run by fathers. It's not a government, that was a private school.
And how old were you when you finished there?
I was 17.
So that must have been in 39.
That's right, yeah.
Just as the war was starting?
That's right, yes, the war started, that's right.
So what were you doing, and what are your memories of the 1st of September 1939?
Well, first of all, I want to join the army to be a volunteer, but I was told by the officer on duty that I'm too young and I should go back to school, and the Polish army has got enough soldiers. On 17th, when we heard that the Russians walked in to Poland, there was very much confusion whether they were coming to help us or whether they were coming to occupy Poland. The army moved, the remnants of the army moved either south of Poland or went to north to Lithuania. So the town was called Lida, was left on its own. So we formed a unit which tried to restore the order and to prevent any disorders by communists.
Were there any disorders?
Well, there weren't, actually. But we control, occupy the army barracks, and we guarded the strategic points. It wasn't a very big unit. It was about 20 of us.
And who was in charge of that?
There was a reserve officer who actually... Actually, with the unit from 1st of September to the 17th of September, and then he just vanished, gone away, because he knew that Russians were coming, so that would be arrested as an officer. So we left on our own. Eventually we disbanded ourselves because Russians, they wanted us to form the militia, Russian militia, which was just absolutely against our principles, that we were Poles and we only could fight for Poland. And we learned very quickly that Russians were occupants of Poland.
And can you tell me something about those several days between the 1st and the 17th of September? What happened to you then? What you saw?
It was very quiet. It was very much of confusion. As we saw, some of the army units were leaving the barracks and going, as I said, north to Lithuania. So we tried to, as I said, we tried to keep the, an eye on the events and prevent. There were not any murders, whatever it is, and we are doing our duty in turns. As I said, we occupied the strategic points, and that actually happened until of the 17th of September, actually 22nd, because Russians, they crossed the border, Polish eastern border, on 17th, and the time they arrived, there was a 22nd or 23rd.
Had the outbreak of war taken you by surprise?
Well, to some extent, but we knew actually that the war would happen. We were actually prepared ourselves as a special training in the army, like cadets. I mean, in the grammar school as cadets, we were training, and we were told that would be a war, but we didn't know whether it was with Russians or with the Germans.
Had you expected the Russians to come into eastern Poland?
Sorry?
Had you expected the Russians to come into eastern Poland?
Well, we didn't. No, we didn't. Didn't expect.
What was your first sight of a Russian soldier or Russian person in authority?
Well, I must say they were quite well behaved, quite well disciplined. But we found out actually they were rather shabby dressed. The uniform was shabby, and the rifles was actually carried on this piece of string, so it made a fun of it. But it was very dangerous to make any remarks because a person could be taken to prison, and that's it for criticizing the army.
So you said that you dispersed and refused to become their militia.
That's right. We had special bands, which were actually Polish colors, red and white on the top. And when they came along, they told us to remove the white band and leave the red band, which I said was against our principles, and we actually felt we should disband ourselves.
And then what happened to you?
And then I went back to school. And I was learning Russians. Actually, Russians, they reorganized the schools. And some of the subjects were dropped, like Polish history or Polish language. Everything was actually from December 1940, was geared into the Russian system of teaching.
How did you feel about it?
Well, we felt, matter of fact, very bitter. We even organized the secret society, which was pointless to do it because we eventually had to disband ourselves. As we were, the KGB was on our side almost watching us, and we're told by a friend of ours who is a Jewish guy, he said, you have to disband, you forget about your any political activity, because there's no point, and you will be arrested.
How did you know the KGB were watching you?
As I said, the that young guy was a colleague of mine in the school. He was a Jewish guy, and perhaps he had some information that really they were watched by KGB. They were following us. They were watching our activity. One of the Polish teachers, even so, they said that we should forget about any political activity as such, because this was very, very dangerous and wouldn't lead us to anything, to anywhere.
Did the Russians introduce any other changes apart from to the school syllabus?
Well, not really, but very slowly. I think they tried some of the younger generation to get into the day Komsomol called, which is the communist youth organization.
What was the makeup of the population in your area? What kind of population was it?
Well, I would say about 50% or even 60% were Polish population, and the rest of it there were Jewish population and Belarusians and Latvians as well.
How did everybody get on with each other?
Very well indeed. Wasn't any political problem during the before 1939. There was very good relations between Belarusians and between Poles, and even within Jewish as well.
Did that continue after the Russians came?
Well, we had to be very careful. Actually, we are not so sure about the Jewish people, because some of them, they collaborated with the Russians, and at the same time the Belarusians, they cooperated.
Was that because of communist or socialist sympathies?
Because of the communist sympathies, that's right, yes. And Belarusians actually are very much deceived. They felt they were going to be forming their own republic.
What happened to you next?
And then when I heard the appeal from General Sikorsky, he was commander-in-chief, and the prime minister in France, on radio we heard a message from him that the young generation, the young people, should leave Poland and try to get to France to form the Polish army. So with a friend of mine, we decided to go south of Poland, cross the border, and get into the Romania eventually, and through Romania get to France.
Who was this friend?
He was the friend of mine actually from my early days. He came from Warsaw.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, that's right, yes. Czesław Piątek.
So how did you set about this?
Well, we told our families that we're going. My mother, she was very much opposing, but my father, as he knew very much Russians from the revolution, because my parents, they spent, they were living in Caucasus, and they knew Russians quite well from the revolution time. My father knew that wasn't any future for me. I should leave the house, home, and get to France. And I was, at the same time, I was very much afraid that I would be called to the Russian army, which was against my principles. And perhaps one should know that the Polish youth, they were very, very patriotic. And I felt it's my duty, really, to help to liberate Poland from the West, the Polish army and British army and the French army.
So what was your journey like to the frontier?
Sorry?
What was your journey like?
Oh, yes. Well, we are not very careful, actually, planning our journey. And at the same time, the Russians were guarding the border very closely. It's almost impossible to get through the border. They knew that young people, they tried to get through the border. And they knew our plans. Obviously, they overheard. They knew the message from the General Sikorsky. And we were arrested about 15 miles from the border, by the secret agent, KGB agent.
Can you describe what happened when you were arrested?
Well, we were taken to an interrogation room, and we were asked various questions. Unfortunately, I had my documents on me and my certificate of education, and they got address of my parents. And they asked the same question of a friend of mine. And eventually they transfer us to a small prison. We stayed there for a while.
Do you know the dates that you were arrested?
That was actually June 1940, end of the June 1940.
What was it like in the prison?
Well, obviously very depressing, because I realized that we are being caught and our plans to reach the Polish army was actually nil. And during the interrogation, the KGB officer was extremely arrogant and violent, and he said that I'm going north where the white bears actually stay. He was very plain about it, and he just told me so. And then we moved to another bigger prison.
Was this man violent to you?
Yes, he was, actually, yeah.
You mean he knocked you about?
Well, he didn't, actually, but he was trying to warn me that if I sort of give on information, it will hit me. And tried to punish me as well.
In what way?
Well, he said to me, well, if you're not careful, well, I'll call a soldier and he'll deal with you. Didn't describe certainly what I'm going to face, but I knew that actually it's not a joke.
So what kind of information was he trying to get from you?
First of all, whether I belonged to any secret organization, which I denied. On various occasions, he asked the same question, because he called me several times. And a friend of mine, he called also several times. He tried the information. Who sent us? Who is organizing us? And as I denied anything, I said, well, I was going my own. And eventually gave up, and that's it.
What were conditions like in the prison?
Well, it was extremely crowded. In a cell where normally were kept about a couple of people, there were 16 or even 20 of us.
Were they all people like yourself?
That's right, yes.
Where was this prison?
There was a south of part of Poland, which is called Stanislavov. And there was a very much bigger prison. It's still, again, it's very crowded.
Was Stanislavov your first prison?
No, it was the first one was the Nadvorna, called. And Stanislavov was the second one.
Why did they move you from one prison to another?
Because they tried to keep us in a one big prison. That small prison was a provisional one. And obviously, when they were catching more people the same age as me, they had to move us to the very, very big, much bigger prison. In that prison, actually, we had. Actually, I was near the center of the prison, so I heard, and a friend of mine as well heard, the rating of the engines of the big lorries and cars, Russian cars. And then once I was learning later, there were executions in the prison. If they proved there were some officers between us, they tried to eliminate and obviously kill them.
What else do you remember from this time?
Well, and again, actually, when we were organized by KGB, they formed a big transport to Russia by cattle train.
Had you been sentenced by now?
No, not yet. Not yet, actually. When we moved to Russia, we stayed in another prison, and then we heard of our sentences, which came from Moscow. I got 5 years for trying to cross the border.
Did you have a trial?
No, not at all. Everything this fixed was fixed in Moscow by a so-called Troika, by three people.
What was the journey like to Russia?
Well, it was actually reasonable. Actually, we were crowded again in trains. The journey wasn't very long, about a week. And then we came to Kharkov. In Kharkov, a local man, Russian man, approached me and asked me if I was a Pole. So, yes, certainly I was a Pole. And he said, I must tell you that many of you people were killed in this prison and buried in the woods, not very far from the prison. I realized later there were Polish officers which were killed in that prison, obviously buried near Kharkov, which was very recently discovered at mass graves.
Was this a Russian who told you this?
Russian, local man.
Why do you think he told you?
Well, it's amazing, actually. I'm very much surprised he told me. Perhaps he wanted to get something of his chest, and perhaps he just wanted to tell me.
When would this have been, do you think? Which month?
Well, from the archives, which I learned later, that was happened in the beginning of April, 1940.
But when did he tell you, I mean?
Well, he told me, actually, there was a end of June, I think. Or maybe beginning of July.
What had been your first impressions of the USSR when you traveled through it?
Well, Well, I wasn't very much in touch with the local people. Only prisoners were traveling with us. We tried to keep away from them, and we are not involving any discussion and the conversation. Mostly there were Poles in our train. Well, it's difficult to describe, actually, what I felt about it. Obviously, very depressing, what we saw through the windows while we traveled, that the country looked very poor, and it just the fields and fields of the corn and on the no trees, no forests at all, nothing at all, very monotonous area. And sometimes you just pass the small towns or big towns, and the trains on the way were loaded with Russian prisoners. And eventually, from Kharkov, we are moved to Moscow.
What had happened to you in Kharkov?
Well, we just were waiting for the transport to be organized to move us to Moscow.
And in Moscow?
And Moscow was eventually was a distribution point to various concentration camps, various parts of Gulag.
What are your next memories?
Well, we moved actually in December to north of Russia.
December,
that's right. December 1940. And we were distributed to different camps. And I was found myself in a camp which was called number 9. Very few of us were Poles. Most of them, they were Russians.
Where was this camp near? What was the nearest settlement?
Well, that was the called Komi ISSR, Komi ISSR, Ni Uchta called. Actually, east of Arkhangelsk. And then actually, it was a very hard job because I have to get in the forest, to work in the forest, a friend of mine. And it was a tough going, actually, which we obviously were not prepared to physical work. And and somehow I managed to get a better job because I got a horse and I worked with the horse, loading the timber from the forest and then moving to the main road, which eventually was collected by the lorries, big lorries, which they moved to the some part of actually which they were using it. Unfortunately, it happened, there was an accident with my horse, which actually fell down, and it was a very deep snow, and it was kicking the snow, and actually was injured itself, and was and died. So I was actually accused of sabotage. And the prosecutor, he tried to get a death sentence for me.